am so excited to not just be talking to you about volunteering, because it's something that I love to talk to you about a lot, but actually to have somebody here who, and I don't know if you would describe it this way, but ultimately lives and breathes volunteering and really allows people to step into the potential to change the world, because that can be how powerful volunteering is. This is Dive Into Your Career, the podcast designed to help students like you take impactful steps towards your career goals. I'm Gina Visram, a qualified careers coach and consultant who is so proud to be your careers cheerleader. You are in the right place if you are a determined student or the proud supporter of one. Here, you will embrace career development in a unique spirit of fun, not fear. Let's dive in. Today, my guest is David Coles, who is the Volunteer Centre Manager from the London School of Economics. He previously worked at DoIt, the UK's national volunteering database, and also campaigns for responsible international volunteering. He is a football coach, he has volunteered as a photographer for several charities, and is a member of the National Committee for the Student Volunteering Network. David is passionate about people being able to create change for causes they are passionate about. And you are going to really understand more about the power of volunteering and hopefully take some action or be proud of the action you are already taking as a result of listening to this podcast. David, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Gina. What a lovely welcome. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. So I know we've been wanting to have this conversation for a while. And, you know, really the best place to start, you know, you were working for the LSE, one of the best respected universities in the UK. I know when I went to Warwick, volunteering was something that was huge there as well. I suspect that will be the case at institutions around the country and beyond. Can you tell us more about what you do as the Volunteer Centre Manager and within the Volunteering Centre itself?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. And yeah, most universities have quite big volunteer centres these days. Over the last 15 years, we've really seen a growth in that area. But my job at the LSE, managing the Volunteer Centre, and we're here to inspire and empower students to volunteer for causes which they're passionate about. So what I'm really keen to do, as you said in the introduction, is to help people make a difference for how they want to improve the world. So whether students are passionate about sustainability, the rights of refugees, educational inequality, homelessness, or 100 other causes, and what I really want to do and what I enjoy, along with my team as well, is to make sure that they know how they can make a difference in those areas. And so we look to introduce our students to hundreds of organisations over their time at the university, who will all sort of try and make the world a better place in the way that they see fit, and make sure the students can get involved in that. If I could speak for another minute or so about that, I mean, the two key words I said at the start were inspire and empower. To be honest, in many ways, inspiring is probably the easiest part of this job. You know, you speak to many people and they can see, you know, how they want to make a difference in the world. They can see something that makes them angry or upset, or they feel that it's an injustice, and they know that they want to make a difference in that area. And that's particularly the case at LSE. You've worked with lots of LSE students. You'll know how much they want to make a change in the world. But we do a lot of inspiration. We have lots of students who sort of share their stories about their volunteering and look to make a difference. But the big thing that we really want to do is empower students. So it's all very well being angry, upset about a situation, but how do you actually make a tangible difference? I'm sure we'll come into this in a bit more detail over the podcast, but that's, for me, the most interesting part of the role. How can we make that connection from feeling feeling an emotion about a situation to actually going and making a change in that area.
You know, I appreciate that as something that you have brought up now, David, because the how do we make a difference piece is so incredibly important at times where you can often feel so helpless about what you see around you, whether it is conflict in parts of the world which feel like there has been conflict for a while, whether it is new conflicts which have come to the surface, whether it is things that we see in our own communities, whether that relates to education or activities for youth or the increase in the need for food banks or whatever it is, right? I think as long as we're walking around with our eyes open, you can't help but notice where there is need. And of course, you might be in a situation where you have felt that need yourself.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that for a moment then. The transition from being overwhelmed about it all, which I think is how it can feel sometimes, you know, the whole world has turned to crap or whatever it can feel in its moments.
Yeah.
How do we turn from that? How do students turn from that to starting to do something?
Yeah, that's a really good question and really sort of gets to the essence of what it is we're trying to do. I mean, the first thing I always say to students or anyone looking to volunteer is actually to ask yourself some questions. What is it that you're passionate about? What skills do you have? What are you good at? What could you bring to a cause or an organization? And I guess also, what is it that you're hoping to achieve with your volunteering? How will you know when you've made a difference? What will that look like or feel like to you or smell like if you know that you've made a difference? And then really starting to sort of drill down into those areas. So for some people, making a difference might look like, mentoring a child at a local school. And you can really see that difference that you're making. You know, you're working with that child. Hopefully over the course of time, you'll get to see the difference that you're making and you'll get to see them make their improvements in their schoolwork or their levels of happiness or whatever it is you want to see. But for someone else, it might be working with an education charity and doing a research report for them that might help 10,000 children, but you never get to meet any of those children. So it can be very different for different people. And I do quite often get that question, and you know, how can I make? Can you give me an example of someone else that's made a difference? And whilst I said inspiration is really important, it's also important to remember that making a difference will look different to you compared to everyone else as well. So really asking yourself those tough questions first, I think is really important. And the second thing I'd probably say, and I'll let you come back in on this as well, is to probably be quite humble in the way that you approach it and realize you won't have all the answers, and that's okay. And we're all on a learning journey. In my role, I definitely don't pretend to have all the answers to solve homelessness or sustainability or anything like that. I'm quite open in the fact that I really don't. And if we can all go in with that mindset that we're prepared to learn, potentially have our views challenged, and come up with new ideas about how we can make an impact, that's a perfectly open, good mindset to have, and we should always do that. So I think asking ourselves some really difficult questions sometimes can be the best thing to do before we even start making a difference.
Asking yourself questions feels like a really good place to start. Really good place to start, both on the kind of philosophy and cause level and also on the practical skills level, which you mentioned. Like, if I saw a volunteering opportunity to help somebody do their accounting, I probably wouldn't be helping very much It's definitely not my zone of genius. Really, really great place to start. Thank you. So let's take it back just for a moment, because sometimes I think talking about the obvious thing is probably where we should start. So volunteering, what constitutes volunteering? And in thinking about that, if you could also reflect on the fact that there are lots of different ways of working when you're on your early careers journey, and that can include work experience and internships and all the rest of that. So we don't necessarily need to break down all of those things. But how would you define volunteering?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And one, to be honest, that we're still arguing about within the voluntary sector. So I'm going to give you my answer. And you might have some of your listeners really vehemently disagreeing with what I said, but that's okay. We like a bit of debate. Well, the definition that we use at LSE is that we define volunteering as any activity that involves spending time unpaid doing something that aims to benefit society. So that's our sort of simple one-line definition of volunteering. And we think obviously the unpaid part is really important, and it should be benefiting society. Now, again, what does constitute benefiting society? Again, people would have very different viewpoints on what that is, and you might see someone who says, I'm volunteering to do this, and you think that's the complete opposite of how I view benefiting society. But that's kind of all part of the debate and to some degree the fun of the discussion as well, but that's how we would define volunteering anyway.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate the, at least on the surface, simplicity of unpaid. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's the thing that we know, and aims to benefit society, which is, yeah, again, I think an incredibly important point. But of course, the point where, you know, that's where viewpoints can diverge in terms of what that looks like.
Yes, absolutely.
So volunteering, it's unpaid, it aims to benefit society. Why is it an important thing to do in general? And certainly, why is it an important thing for students to do as well?
Yeah, so I mean, there's lots of benefits to volunteering, and pretty much every study that's ever done kind of shows the benefits of volunteering, both to the volunteer and, of course, the wider cause as well. So I guess at the most sort of transactional level, if someone is volunteering, they should be making a difference and they should be helping whichever cause it is. You know, some of the ones I described earlier, and of course that's really important for society to have people wanting to contribute and make a difference. But for the individual who's actually volunteering, again, there's been huge amounts of research showcasing what a positive impact it has on the volunteer as well, including like mental health benefits, career benefits, which I'm sure we'll come onto in a bit more detail in a moment, and that sense of pride. Confidence in yourself. And one of the really big ones, I think, for me is that it kind of gives you that stake in society. You said, you know, this is where I've made a difference. It means that you feel more connected to your community, you know, your neighbours. And when I say community, that could be in a very localised sense, or it could be in an international sense as well. And people can define their own community. But I really feel like, you know, when you've made a difference in that area, you can feel that sense of pride. And it gives you, you know, you can take your own stake in society, as I said, which I feel is so important in this day and age where, as you described earlier, people can have that sense of helplessness, and volunteering can give you a really good solid building block in your community.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is incredible about volunteering is that it can start really early, right? It can start really early. I know here, we're typically speaking to students and graduates and their supporters. But actually, one of my fondest memories of school, and this is saying a lot because I loved school, was probably being 11 or 12 years old. And at that time, I was at school in Kenya. I was in Nairobi. I was at a British system school. Teachers from a range of places, including the UK and Kenya, of course. And I had an art teacher, Mrs. Lodge, who was very passionate about the plight of street children in Nairobi. Street children really being exactly what it sounds like, right? Children who primarily live on the streets, are on the streets. And She is an art teacher, as I said, and she started an art project, right? That was how it started. And it was, lots of it took place in the art room at school. And we did loads of projects along the years, but one day that I particularly remember, I think it was a weekend, but I might be wrong. We actually had a party at school, right? And we had, and of course we were working with an organization whose name I'm not going to remember now, it was so many years ago. And there were, no exaggeration, about 200 street children and loads of us as students and staff who were volunteering. And there was an opportunity to do so many activities, including the art. There was swimming. I don't know who organized that, but everybody was fine at the end of it, so it was okay. There was roller skating. There were all sorts of things. And one of the things that she did, which was a more long-term thing, was she created a business in which ceramic pots were painted by some of these incredible children who, of course, like children are very talented, just give them the opportunity to do something. And those pots would be sold as, you know, art. And, you know, now, so many years later, my mom still has a load of those pots who made it all the way to Guyana after we moved. And I'm saying this because, and it only sparked as part of our conversation, because I remember this so vividly so many years later. And I think volunteering, whether it's something that we do as an individual, as a family, with our schools, with some of our besties from uni, like whatever it is, I see what you mean about it being really win-win, like hopefully really beneficial for the organization that it's intended to be beneficial for, but also for the individual. Now, David, I'd love to hear a few more of your personal volunteering stories that you would be happy to share. And then we're going to talk about some of the examples of what students have done as well. But for now, let's talk about you. What are some of your either early memories of volunteering, or at least some of your fondest memories of volunteering opportunities that you've been part of?
Absolutely. And I mean, you're absolutely right about sort of doing things with your best friends as well. And I know we'll come on to speak about students, but I meet so many students who kind of meet people they really connect with through their volunteering, because they're really fighting for that cause and they're doing it together.
And it's an incredible bonding. It's a mutual interest, right? So exactly. No wonder that person can turn into a friend.
Yeah, and I mean, even speaking from my own personal, I've got some of my best friends are people I've met through volunteering, and you still kind of have that connection years later, which is great. I mean, some of my earliest volunteering, I think I was in the Scouts, and that was kind of really encouraged as part of that. So I was a Scout, but I was helping out in the Cub group sort of once a week, you know, leading activities. I was only a few years older than them, I'm not sure. I really should have been left in charge of lots of children, but we all had a lot of fun and we play games every week and do different things that kind of the scouting movement does. And then a lot of my other volunteering is actually sort of orientated around football. I didn't even class it as volunteering at the time, but when I was at university and just left university, I was involved in running a couple of football teams, which is great, sort of setting one up at my workplace at the time. And I really wouldn't have said that as volunteering, but you know, every week I was there helping organise it, getting a team together, submitting the results to the league, all that type of stuff, which really is volunteering, because a load of people got to benefit from that. And I'm currently, you know, I've done a lot of football coaching since. I've got a couple of qualifications, and I was a coach at the London School of Economics with the women's team, and I did that for 3 years, which is brilliant. And I'm currently a coach at a team called South London Laces, which is an incredible football club aimed at women and those that define as non-binary. And it's amazing because, you know, every single week we get up to kind of 40 or 50 players coming along and they're just playing football. And it's so simple that you think like people get so much joy from just kicking the ball around. But I do get to see that on a weekly basis. And so I've really, really enjoyed my time with the Laces at the moment. It's a wonderful community of like-minded people coming together to play football, but expressing so much more than that, because they really fight for lots of women's causes and you know, lots of really important issues, which I think is integral to improving society. Other volunteering that I've done, I was a trustee of a charity that worked in Ghana for almost 10 years. In fact, I spent quite a lot of time in Ghana. And that was, you know, that's an incredibly privileged position to be part of, making a difference through education and sport in Ghana, and working with a fantastic team in Ghana, and, you know, being able to see the difference that they made, and helping them with doing some fundraising and doing advocacy work was really, really special. And I look back on that with really, really fond memories. And I guess my other thing that I've always really enjoyed through my volunteering is photography. I think that's one of the great things about volunteering. I've described that photography, sort of football coaching. And really, if I was to say to you, what is my dream job? It would either be a photographer or being a football coach. But the good thing about doing it through volunteering is I don't actually have the skills or the sort of willingness to really take that on as my full-time career. I get to sort of like almost act as being a football coach or a photographer, and kind of pretend it's my full-time job, and I can throw myself into it with a huge amount of passion. But at the end of the day, I don't need that to pay my bills. I can just do it for fun. And when the fun stops, I'll kind of stop doing it, and it won't affect me in any other way. But those two things I've really, really enjoyed over the past few years.
You know, David, let's talk about that for a moment, because you've just described something so beautifully that I think is really beneficial for us all to really pay attention to. And that's the notion of ultimately participating in what feels like a dream job, mm-hmm. right? In what feels like a dream job, but doing it in a way that, you know, you don't need to be at a level that, you know, you are teaching a Premier League, coaching a Premier League team or something, right? So it's, of course, I anticipate your skills are stellar, but yeah, as you said, there's something about, in your case, leaning into photography, leaning into football. These are areas and things that you love to do. And I guess that becomes very fulfilling. And I wanted to pause on that. And really, I anticipate that people would have really heard the point, you know, at the same time that I did. But I want to stress that point, because one of the things that I like to shout from the rooftops is the idea of career joy. Beyond career satisfaction, beyond something that you're just going to tolerate, certainly not something that, you know, you're dreading every Monday morning, but is actual joy in your career. And one of the things that I remember navigating with a client some years ago was actually the idea that your career and life joy doesn't need to solely come from the thing that you're being paid to do. And actually, if you tweak some of the other aspects of your life, that thing that you are being paid to do can feel much more joyful, because that's not the sole source of you trying to achieve your ambitions. So, yeah, that was a really great point.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, a really good example for that for me was when I was volunteering as a coach for the women's football team at LSE. Obviously, my full-time job is at LSE, running the volunteer centre, but being the football coach was a very different position. And I had such different interactions with LSE students through doing that, that I really learned different things about them, which really helped me in my day-to-day job, which I was getting paid for. At LSE. So I fully agree with that. Our career isn't just what we're paid for. It's as much as the things that we are paid for and the other things which we do, which we can still feel equal pride in, sometimes potentially more pride. And there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, coaching the women's football team at LSE was a brilliant thing for me to do, and something I really enjoyed, just purely obviously from the football side of it, but purely a very different interaction with the students that I normally would work with on a day-to-day basis in a very different way.
Now, one of the things that I want to highlight for you listening is that, you know, there are volunteering opportunities for everybody, mm. right? And they can relate to hobbies and things that you already love, or they can relate to a career that you're interested in exploring and being paid for and making a living from. So we're going to be talking about that in a moment, and I'm going to kind of fire some potential career sectors at David, and he'll give us some examples of the sorts of things that you might be able to do and find within volunteering. But before we get sector specific, let's talk about some of the volunteering opportunities that you have seen for students, David, that you have created, acquired, shared, amplified. And as part of that, it's probably worth mentioning that, you know, the LSE has a volunteering award where you recognize students. And I know at the time of recording, we're sort of in the mix with that. So can you give us some general ideas of what students can do in terms of volunteering before we actually start to talk about it in terms of sectors?
Yeah, of course. And I mean, first of all, yeah, we're just about to release the nominees for the LSE Volunteer of the Year. We've had over 30 nominations this year and some absolutely incredible student stories, which we're really excited to share and celebrate next Wednesday with them. But really, I mean, the list is kind of endless. I could probably sit here for the next half an hour just giving you volunteer role titles, and I won't do that. But I will give you a few. So, I mean, let's go back. I mean, a really good one that I saw recently was like a website designer for a sustainability charity, or being a mentor at a local school, or doing a research project for a refugee rights organisation. Other ones which we offer at LSE, we do a consultancy project for students. They can, in teams of sort of seven students, we call it the community engagement programme, where they do a consultancy piece over 10 weeks during the second term and really get into quite deep into quite a difficult topic that an organisation might be facing. And all of those might sound quite heavy. And sometimes they can be, you know, it can be a bit of responsibility with volunteering, and you shouldn't go into it lightly. But the other thing which we do at LSE, and I'd recommend anyone to do, is to be on the lookout for kind of one-off volunteering opportunities as well. So we did one a couple of weeks ago where we had about 40 students and staff in a room at LSE, all knitting an individual square, just one square. And then my colleague Sammy has been furiously knitting these squares together to create a blanket, which we're going to send over to Syria, a charity that collects blankets to send to Syria. And so the students and the people came together, learned how to knit, and they might have only been there for an hour, potentially even less. But it was no further commitment was needed, but it's just one way in which you can sort of make that small contribution, even in a time-pressured world that we live in. But you can still make a difference. So I really want to get across to people that volunteering, you know, you can really sign up to a long-term commitment, and that's great. But there's hundreds of other ways in which you can make a difference through small, almost everyday actions as well.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for the notion of one-off volunteering. Because I have to say, even when I think of volunteering, I think of it as a longer term commitment. But of course, that reminder of something being one off, something that you can literally dip a toe in the water, see how it goes, do even if you're feeling time pressured and, you know, you're worried about not wanting to let an organization down because at the moment you don't have that kind of amount of time to commit. It doesn't mean that you can't volunteer and do something, because there are going to be opportunities like the ones that you've just described being available.
Absolutely. I mean, there's other ones which you can do sort of in your pajamas in your bedroom with the obviously the wonders of the internet. So to give a couple of examples of that, we did one where LSE students were transcribing diaries from World War One, and we would often do that as a group, but you could do that anywhere in the world. All you need is a laptop, log on to the internet, go on to the website, and you could start transcribing diaries. Another similar one was the Boston Public Library opens up their archives on the anti-slavery campaigns in America in the early 19th century. And again, you could go on and transcribe all of these documents, which would then contribute to this huge research piece, which has been undertaken by academics at the library. And you might have only done half an hour of transcribing, but you will be making a difference, and that information will be used to see what we can all learn from sort of the anti-slavery movements in the early 19th century in America. So these like very small pieces, you really can make such a huge difference from it.
That's amazing. And I love those examples, because as you said, you could literally just sort of rattle off example after example, but you've shared some really lovely kind of varied ones there.
Mm.
And in thinking about the awards that you have coming up, are you able to share some of the ones that have been particularly interesting?
Well, I wouldn't want to prejudice. We're about to decide the winners this afternoon and tomorrow morning, so I won't want to give too much information away. but we will be. We've got a blog coming out this afternoon, which will detail all of the nominees, and I really recommend people having a look at it. If you're looking for some truly inspirational stories that might kickstart your volunteering, and some of them aren't kind of hundreds of hours a week, and they can be much smaller than that, but where they really made a difference, I'd really recommend reading that. But the list is, again, I mean, we've got over 30 nominees, and it's amazing what some of them have done, and truly, truly inspiring. It's going to be a very difficult decision to decide who's winning these awards, I promise you. A fun one, but a difficult decision as well.
Well, you know, I will definitely share that in the show notes, because you know, an aim of this podcast episode is really obviously to shine a light on volunteering, to remind us all that we can do it, to talk about the benefits. And I think it's hearing about the specifics as well is really useful. I think no matter what different things that we're into, it's really useful to know about some of the specifics. So yes, we will definitely share that blog post in the show notes for this episode, because it can be one of those things that continues to inspire and give ideas. And, you know, before we end the episode, we'll definitely talk about some of the places where volunteering opportunities can be sought. So that's mm-hmm. going to be a really important thing to share, which we will do as well. So let's talk for a moment, David, about some of the skills that can be picked up from volunteering. So we talk about employability skills, or think about employability skills a lot when it comes to thinking about our career and what we could be going on to do. Again, I know this could be an endless list, but can you share, I don't know, maybe up to five sort of skills which might be built from certain types of volunteering?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's try and get to five. So, I mean, I think there's probably a difference between those sort of soft skills, which can be picked up in pretty much any role. And then I guess kind of harder skills if you want to practice something in particular and get experience. So, I mean, the very obvious ones we always kind of pick up from volunteering include like communication skills, teamwork, leadership, presentation. You know, those are really those kind of soft skills, which, you know, for any person going into a job interview or doing a job application, they're going to be fairly universal and really important. And they really can be picked up in so many areas. Even if you're, you know, we use the example of mentoring a child at a school, you can have to have brilliant communication skills to sort of connect with, let's say, a 13-year-old, which could be harder than any job situation you're in future years. Having done that a little bit myself, yeah. So those communication skills are extremely valuable. But then we definitely want to look at sort of those harder skills as well. And you know, we get lots of students who might go and do some like law pro bono volunteering, or, you know, doing casework notes or something like that. And of course, if you're looking to get involved in the law sector, then that's going to be so important to what you're doing. Or you might do volunteering as an accountant for a charity. And that's going to be really important as well to make sure you kind of know what's going on and understand all the processes and everything like that as well. So there's lots of these kind of hard skills which can be really beneficial. And that's obviously down to the individual and where it is that student or person wants to go to in their career.
Thanks so much, David, because and you know, those skills that you described, those soft skills, those transferable ones that you said typically feature in most volunteering opportunities, the communication, teamwork, leadership, those sorts of things. Those are the skills that typically in any kind of survey of what are some of the most important skills that employers are looking for, those tend to be the ones that come up highest often. So it's brilliant to be able to build those skills doing a range of things, whether or not it obviously relates to the sector and industry and role it is that you're interested in or not. And I often think, you know, imagine as somebody who is being interviewed, how cool it is to be able to give examples like that from unexpected, perhaps, areas of your life in terms of what you do. It's one of those things that probably makes you pretty memorable as a candidate, that the examples that you're sharing aren't maybe some of the most common examples that may come up.
Absolutely. I think there's two points on that. First of all, like you say, there can be unusual examples and you're going to stick in that person's memory. If you're talking about you mentoring or whatever it might be. But the second thing I think as well, which I've found from speaking to both students who've gone on to successfully get jobs, kind of working with through their volunteering, but also speaking to interviewers as well, is that when you speak about your volunteering, people often light up in that moment because it is what they're passionate about, is what they've enjoyed, it's what they're proud of. And suddenly you're going to have that connection with the person on the other side of the desk who's making this decision. They're going to see you at your best. And that's obviously what it is. When you go into an interview, you always want people to see you at your best. And often people, they won't even notice that they've done it. But when they talk about their volunteering, it's what they're really passionate about. And they're really going to come across well when they're describing what they've done through that.
I love that. I mean, chances are the people who would think to volunteer wouldn't be going into it because it's going to help them perform as well as they possibly can in an interview. But that's such an important point, that it is the time where you light up. It is the moment where you feel like, you know, you are not kind of as performing, or, you know, you're not as rehearsed or as careful as you might be elsewhere, because mm-hmm. you're immediately relaxing into something that you feel really proud of. So that's such an important point. Thank you. So, David, one of the things that I did want us to do as part of this conversation, so I'm glad that we're getting a chance to squeeze it in before we wrap up, is for me to mention a few sectors to you and for you to share some of the sorts of volunteering opportunities that you've seen within those sectors. So I'm going to share a few different ones, and I'd love to know of any opportunities that come to mind that you may have seen over the years at LSE, pre-LSE, wherever it may have been.
Okay, let's see what we can do.
And, you know, let's start with an area that could really, really do with some good people: politics.
Politics. Absolutely. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind, actually, is there's an LSE student called Daniel Laws who set up a charity called Youth Politics UK, and they work with a huge number of students, and it's all about young people having a voice in politics. Now, that's a very, very obvious connection there, but I definitely recommend people checking out Youth Politics UK. But then you can see lots of other ones as well, like even just kind of working in your local community centre, you're really going to get an understanding of what's going on, what's on people's priorities list. And if you want to be involved in politics, understanding what people's priorities are absolutely important. So maybe just volunteering in your local community centre will give you a really good idea about what's affecting people on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, my goodness. That's probably one of the things that existing politicians should do as well.
Potentially. I wouldn't like to say who does and who doesn't.
Argue. But no, that's a great one. Absolutely. Understanding people's priorities is great. And congrats to the student as well who created that organization. I love that. Thank you for sharing. Okay, medicine or healthcare?
Medicine or healthcare? Well, the NHS would be on its knees without volunteers. The amount of volunteers that are involved in the NHS is huge, from welcoming people to hospitals. I'm actually speaking to a staff member at LSE who's an LSE grad, and she's a professional pianist. She's incredible, and she goes and performs on her piano in hospital wards and in old people's homes, just sort of making their day a little bit better with some really quite brilliant classical music. So it could be something very small like that. That combined her passion for music with wanting to make a difference, which she was really, really keen about. But there's lots of, I mean, even just, you know, looking at the COVID response, that was based on volunteers wanting to help out neighbours, go shopping for them, being vaccine centres, sort of welcoming people and making sure everything's going smoothly. And so there's a huge amount of volunteering opportunities within sort of healthcare in that area.
That was really heartening to see, wasn't it? During that crazy season where those volunteers are so, so, so essential. Okay, thank you for that. How about banking or finance?
Yeah, banking and finance. I mean, probably the most obvious one is like accounting and doing the books for an organization. And something that I'd really recommend for anyone, but particularly young people, is to look at being a trustee for a charity. This is where you're actually on the board of an organization. If you've got finance experience or good understanding of numbers and money, most charities will be really keen to speak to you and find out a bit more about that and how they can best use their money and how they can best make sure they're keeping their accounts proper. But it's a really brilliant way to take on a strategic position at an organization. But yeah, if you've got good experience in money, then charities will be really keen to work with you. But potentially as a fundraiser as well, that's another great volunteering opportunity that could fit into that area.
Brilliant, thank you. How about marketing or PR?
Marketing, PR, we have so many organisations looking for people with experience in marketing and PR. The amount of charities over the past few years, I've seen advertising saying, we need someone to come in and sort out our digital marketing, such as Instagram and Facebook, or what is a TikTok? We need someone who understands what a TikTok is, because we need to get our message out there. Now, I've been a little bit flippant in sort of just describing marketing and PR as sort of social media, because that isn't the case. But how do you get your message out? If you're doing really important work as a charity, helping, you know, thousands of people, let's say, how do you get that message out there that you're doing a good job, for starters? Or how do you reach people who might, you know, could benefit from your help? Having someone come in who might be able to do, you know, redo your website or look at your sort of marketing and see how you can reach people in a better way is so important. So lots of consultants could be on the lookout for that, or website designers, or yeah, social media experts, all those different things. Lots of charities on the lookout for that. So it's a great way of volunteering and making a difference.
Amazing. And how about technology, which I know is a big field, but any examples that you've seen?
Yeah, some really big ones in the tech area. One of them I've seen that's been really powerful is people like teaching young people how to do kind of web design and coding and things like that. And I mean, I'm probably a little bit too old for it, but I feel like the next generation, you know, so many kids do coding at school now and have like a good idea of what coding is. So I'm sure like people I'll be employing are just be like, yeah, I know how to code. Of course I do, David. And I won't be able to do that. But there's lots of like really good coding charities out there that are helping either young people do that, or potentially older people like myself as well. Maybe I'll be signing up and being a beneficiary of someone who's going to be volunteering, teaching me how to do coding.
Considering we just worked out via the joy that is LinkedIn that we're of a similarist age and stage.
Yes.
The definition of an older person doesn't sit so well. I'm kidding.
No, me neither. But I better say it before someone else does.
Oh, no, I love that. You know, there's a sound going around on TikTok at the moment where somebody says, you know, speaking of the older generation on TikTok, you know, the people born in the 90s.
I wish.
Oh, no, absolutely. And in fact, to be fair, I might even be misquoting it. It might have been far later than that at this stage. That is brilliant. And thank you for allowing me to just shoot kind of different sector ideas, because the joy of working with students is that they've got such different areas of interest, such different skill sets, so much potential in what they're currently good at and what they might want to improve on as well. And I think it's really lovely to have you so easily demonstrate some of the volunteering opportunities that can be relevant for certain sectors. So definitely worth people checking out specific areas if that's the kind of volunteering road that they want to go down, as opposed to another road in terms of whether it's hobbies or anything else.
Yeah, okay. Exactly right.
Two things really before we round up, and I've been loving this conversation, David, so thank you so much. Really, before we get to the resources, probably the most important thing for me to ask is there anything that we haven't discussed yet that you think would be really important to share, or anything that we have discussed that you would like to reiterate?
Well, that's a good question. We've had quite a good wide-ranging conversations. I think we've covered most of the bases. I mean, just to pick up on your last point, actually, one of my favorite things about working with students, of course, is that, and you use that word potential, and that really is so exciting about working with people in the early parts of their career, because that potential is to go anywhere. But one of the real privileges of my job is through their volunteering, I get to see some of that potential realized right here and now. And that's incredibly fulfilling for me personally. And hopefully it is for the students as well. Although I quite often, you know, often you get a little bit old and you look back on what you've done and you can be proud of it rather than sort of feeling it at the time. And I'm not sure, I probably feel more proud of the students than they do of themselves, if you see what I mean. But I think, yeah, that potential is so exciting. And volunteering is a great way both to add to that potential and to realise it as well.
Absolutely, thank you. And I know one of the things that's really quite important to remember is, regardless of what situation you're in, there are always people that can be helped in the situations that they're in. And so one of the points that you mentioned earlier, David, which I meant to actually pause on, so I'm glad you took the conversation in this direction just now, is the idea of humility and the importance of humility within volunteering. And, you know, one of the essential things, and this is the case for anything, but you don't need to be perfect or have all of your shizzle together or have your mental health completely intact, or have, you know, all of your ducks in a row or whatever it is, to be able to do something and contribute to an organization that will benefit from volunteers. So humility, which you mentioned earlier, I think is actually really, really important. You know, you talked about humility and learning. That's got to be an essential part of volunteering to avoid any kind of crazy savior complexes or anything like that, like to really integrate and have an impact. But yeah, it's really something that can be done no matter what stage you are at, as we described earlier when we talked about kids volunteering.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, to be honest, we could probably record another podcast about sort of saviorism and humility and all those different things put together. But I think that's so important, because it can be easy to look at an issue if you're far away from it and think that's easy to solve, where in fact that issue isn't easy to solve. That's why it's an issue in sort of 2022. If it was easy to solve, it would have been done already. So this isn't to kind of put people off volunteering, because that's the last thing I want to do, but turning up with that learning mindset of being prepared to listen really well, and to be like, yeah, I might not have all the answers here, but I'm prepared to listen and learn and contribute where I can, and not sort of bowl into a situation for saying, you know, all the answers and it's simple and why aren't people just doing this, and that can be taken to many, many different volunteering roles. And I think that's particularly important, I mean, I say this as a white man, understanding like the privileges that different people have in society and where we come from. And I think that's why, you know, we all have different levels of privilege, and just being, yeah, as I said, being humble and understanding that. And most people want to, if you're willing to listen and improve, most people want to help do that. And I think that's an important thing to remember as well.
Oh, well, what a brilliant place to round off the conversation. And I agree, we could go in a variety of directions, including the savior one, and chat more about it. But I think this has been such a lovely, empowering, I would say, reminder of the power of volunteering, how we can all do it, And so let's round off with talking about some of the places where we can find volunteering opportunities. So again, I'm aware that this list could be as long as. And of course, for LSE students, there are specific places that they can go, which is brilliant. But speaking more generally, what would you say are some of your favorite sources for finding volunteering opportunities? And again, I will do my best to link to some of those in the show notes as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, first of all, if you are a university student, your university will probably have a volunteer center, so I really recommend going and speaking to them. Most places in England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland as well, in the UK, will have local volunteer centres too, and they're experts on local volunteering opportunities and will often hold like a bank of those for people to get involved in. In London, there's a website called Team London, which offers volunteering opportunities across the capital. And I'll give a shout to my old place of work and Do It, the UK's National Volunteering Database, where you can just type in your postcode and the types of things that you're interested in, and then lots of opportunities will come up in your local area. And more generally, I'd say, yeah, local community centres are always brilliant sources of knowledge and volunteering opportunities in themselves as well.
Fantastic. That is really helpful. David, thank you so much for being with us today. And if you are somebody who is listening to this, and if you've accessed this podcast via any kind of social media or anything like that, I would be delighted if you would comment and share a takeaway that meant something for you, and or an action that you are intending to take. Likewise, of course, feel free to share some links, some places where we can find volunteering. I know one of the things that existed even pre-COVID, but certainly as a result of, is there are so many online volunteering opportunities that, you know, David mentioned one of them, but can be done from wherever. So feel free to share your resources, inspire, empower, and let's keep doing what we can do to make the world a better place. Thank you so much for being here, David. You've been brilliant. And I look forward to catching you on another episode of the Dive Into Your Career podcast soon. Thank you for listening today. To keep up to date with Dive Into Your Career, leave your details on bit.ly/diveintothelist. See you soon.